Hi, I'm Andrew Rich, and if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collins, and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic, and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns of individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Here we go! Baby, kiss me like a
You're listening to the Emerald Flow Show on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 83 of the Emerald Flow Show. We're a podcast on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. You can follow us on X and Blue Sky at Emerald Flow Show. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And if you're feeling generous, you can donate to the show at voicesofwrestling.com/donate. I'm Gerard here with Paul. And after some brief technical difficulties, we are ready to go.
Yeah, my headphones were just not cooperating at all. I literally had to restart my computer and plug them into a different port and everything, and now they actually work. I don't know why they didn't before, but now they do.
Better to wait to see if fix it and then try to, instead of trying to record the show, constantly having to mute and who knows if you don't.
Yeah, and like half the time you still come out of the speakers and then it gets picked up by the microphone and probably wouldn't have been like very easy to listen to.
Yeah. So this episode, we've got a big preview. We're going to do the Champion Carnival preview, but we got a couple shows to get to first. But I'm going to start off with some news that I guess broke late last night or early this morning that I think is, I find it interesting, but, you know, very prestigious wrestling promotion 01 has announced that Calvin Tankman, as well as Kid Bandit, who I think will be in Japan for the Deadlock Pro shows, will be working 01. And Tankman in particular is someone that I wanted to see in Japan for quite some time. I'm quite a big fan of him. I think he's one of the best wrestlers on the U.S. Indies, but he's going to 01. What do you think of this, Paul?
Yeah, it's not exactly the most prestigious promotion right now, 01, right? Like, it's not even quite clear if they have control of their title or not.
it's not quite clear why they control their other titles. What about those tag team titles and the double junior title?
Yeah. So also had to like reconstitute under like weird circumstances. We still don't know why they had to do it. I would assume it was financial, might have been legal. Who the fuck knows?
It's not
clear. They run shows like we don't know if they're streaming anywhere. They have this weird like fan club now, I guess, but
Who
knows if you can watch shows on there? You can book shows on there, apparently.
Rich from the Flagship tried to sign up, but it wouldn't. So I don't know if foreigners can even get in there.
You just need to learn how to spell your name in katakana. It's easy. Just if he had tried to sign up as Richu Kurechu. Yeah, I think that's what I've heard. So, but yeah, I just hope that this actually like gets like, honestly, both of them like bigger bookings because I don't know, 01, like we don't even know how much they draw, right? Like, because the new
they're running
whatever it is, they are, but they don't, as far as I know, they don't, do they even announce attendances?
I don't even,
because I saw like they just ran this, like they ran a 2-match show like a few days ago, and I didn't see any attendance announced for that, so yeah, definitely not the most prestigious place to work right now. So I just hope that like there's somebody there that will take a look at them. It's like, hey, do you want to come and work for like, do you want to work in front of more than like 100 people? And one, like, do you want to work Hurricane Hall? Like, we don't even know if like 01, do they have any current, like, I don't like, right? Because the Hurricane like lottery, like did the new 01 inherit those slots or yeah. So who knows? Like, I'd literally rather see them work anywhere else, to be honest.
You know, it's sort of funny that, well, I was going to say, foreigner jumps are not uncommon, as we've been with like Ninja Mac.
Yeah.
So if he makes a splash, someone else like a Noah or an All Japan may take an interest.
Yeah, let's say, I mean, with All Japan, the problem obviously is that they, like, they have the Champion Carnival is currently ongoing, so they're not going to bring anybody in.
Yeah, yeah.
Right now?
No, I don't think it would be instantaneously, but, you know, a sustained little run in a smaller company might get you eyes. Because what, Ninja Mac was in Noah for what, 2?
Yeah, and then went bigger. I mean, right, Akira as well. Francesco Akira, rather, you know, had the All Japan run and went to New Japan. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if this, like, especially for someone like Tankman, where, like, I think he just has a shitload of talent.
Yes. So,
and I think he would get over really, really fast, too. I mean, hell, like Galeno Del Mal, like working in.
Oh, of course.
Looking great and then jumping to Noah. Yeah.
Yeah. Another very prestigious company.
Yeah. That would be the saddest thing if he like jumps from 01 to great.
Yeah. Another, I guess, tangentially related topic. I forgot to put on the run sheet, but I just remembered Daichi Hashimoto is now going to be part of Koa Koka Awasaki's Burst as well as Big Japan. So I don't know what that really means for Big Japan because they've also got these rookies that have debuted. Paul, have you seen any of those rookies matches?
I've seen, oh, like, I haven't seen the other one. I've seen the big one.
Yeah.
They seem to be like big believers in them as well, right? Like the big one already got a title match and everything.
Yes. I was going to say up on voiceofwrestling.com, Andrew Sinclair wrote a really good piece about the Big Japan rookies. I haven't got a chance to watch them yet, but I want to now. So check that out because I think that Big Japan, given its roster, has also gotten very old.
Yeah.
They might be doing what All Japan and Noah have done.
Yeah. I mean, you might as well, right? Like, what do you really have to lose if you're Big Japan? You're drawing 300 people to Korakuen. Like, might as well just throw something at the wall and see if it sticks. Yeah. I mean, they also put the deathmatch title on Akira, not Francesco. The other non-Japanese Akira.
Yeah, the U.S. indie guy, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, like, I really hope that, like, big, like, I don't think they will ever be what they used to be, but I do hope that Big Japan can recover, because I think they offer something that no other promotion really can. So it would be a shame if they went away.
Unless they shuffle these young wrestlers into the deathmatch division like they did with Kamatani.
To be fair, but I think that was literally like, there was nobody, right? There was nobody else. There was literally like the average age of the deathmatch roster was like, I don't know, like definitely like not for 40. Yeah.
Too many title runs and everything like that.
God, like a guy that has been washed for like 15 years at this point. Like he looks like an accountant and they just kept putting the title on him. Like they basically put it on him or like Abdullah Kobayashi when neither of them should be like top of that division anymore. But they also like, they kind of did it to themselves because they drove off all of the like young deathmatch talent as well. So it's just a weird situation.
Yep, for sure. So from that, the little cruise around the rest of Japan, we'll start with Noah on March 28th at Yokohama Radiant Hall in front of 266 fans. I mean, there was a lot of just like not much on this card, but I got to start by starting with the second match here. Null versus defeated at 2:07:05 with the chokeslam. You know, the more I watch, the more I have more thoughts about Null and Bryce Hansen. First of all, I mean, this is a fun little squash type thing, obviously. Although Kotoge actually isn't as small as some of the other juniors to throw around. But I'm getting into Null. And, you know, it's funny to look at Null. And I was thinking this, Paul. You know who else we talk about that's also Null's height at 6'7"?
Who else is of that height?
Ren Ayabe.
Oh, wait, really? He's that tall? Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't realize that. Now that I think about it.
Sticks out less at All Japan.
Yeah, of course. Because, I mean, who would you rather have, Ren Ayabe or Null?
By the end of this, the shows I watched, I think Null is a better worker than Ren Ayabe.
Yeah, Ren Ayabe, I really like, we'll talk about it later, but yeah, I think there's a big test for him coming up.
Just like Null can do leapfrog.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, look, Null's upper body muscular than Ayabe's, but if you were watching earlier on in his Noah shows, Null was wearing much tighter pants and his legs are also very skinny. Like, so I think the comparison is apt in terms of, and I don't know how long Null has been wrestling. I'm not even sure. Age match. It could be longer than, I think. Ayabe debuted in debut in 2020.
I think he's only been 2 years, I think, if I remember correctly.
Because he's not in...
It's not? Oh, okay, it's not. I think I remember seeing, like, something when like, they announced, like, his excursion to, like, Japan or whatever, that I think he was about, like, he's been wrestling for 2 years, but I could be misremembering that.
No, okay, so he... On Internet Wrestling Database... They have just his Noah matches, but they also have him on an AEW Dark in June 11th, 2020.
So, yeah, so about the same amount of time then, realistically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I think maybe, yeah, he debuted around 2022 or a little earlier, but not much, couldn't have been much earlier. Again, he's also a Dustin Rhodes trainee, which I think is very key here. You know, I just thought I would bring that comparison up because they are both 6'7" guys, and... I think Null has, obviously he's still green in a lot of ways, but he has clearly shown his improvement and he could also like hit back now. I think putting him in the ring with Fujita has been helpful.
I mean, I think it's always really interesting to see how these guys develop, right? Because some of them, like, I think a lot of people their first time in Japan are kind of intimidated. Right, because it's so different maybe from what you're used to in the US. And some of them get used like really fast. And I think Null definitely has been on the end of those guys that have gotten used to it like a lot faster than I've seen from like others. Like he wasn't like an immediate guy, like for example, like Jack Morris, you know, comes in and has like a 4-star match with Kaito Kiyomiya in his first match. Like that's not the norm. Like I think we see more people like Null or like for example, like Lacey and True, right? Who take like a couple of matches to like get like acclimatized, and then you can see like whether or not they're like worth keeping or not. And I think Null definitely has been someone where I'm like, yeah, I think he's worth keeping around for sure.
Oh, absolutely. The only other thing I would say on the show is the main event of Kento, Kenno, and Uko Sasaki defeating Ozawa, Tetsuya Endo, and Dog in 1738 when Sasaki used the Dujime sleeper hold on Dog. I thought that was a pretty good match, actually.
Mm-hmm. And that was also the match where, like, in the post-match, Kenno kicked, like, a chair into a face's fan, right?
Yes. Oh, right. Yeah. That was and it's funny because, like, Kenno actually broke character for that.
Yes, because he couldn't immediately see it on his face. It's like, oh, no. Oh, that guy's going to get a free autograph.
A very rare response from someone like Kenta.
Yeah, I mean, like even Kenta broke character because he could see Kenta being like, oh, no.
Yeah. So from there, move on to Noah Limit Break X on March 29th at Yokohama Radiant Hall again in front of 282 fans, so they drew more. Hajime Ohara defeated Brian Ishizaka in 10:34 with the Muay Bien, nothing match. Satsuki Nagao and Daikyo Tsushima defeated Junior Matsunaga and Ryo Hoshino in 11:45 with the Muay from Nagao on Hoshino. That was a good little match featuring a bunch of young guys. Mm-hmm. And we mentioned that Matsunaga seems to have jumped to the new 0-1. Maybe on the last episode we mentioned that. Paul, I did not watch the Reeve Mask and the Reeve Mask 2 versus Black Mensa Reigns. You couldn't get me to do it.
I have watched it, let's put it that way. It was on in the background. And whenever I glanced over, all I saw was comedy. And I was like, yeah, okay. I'm not paying attention to this. Because these matches are always shit. Like, they're so bad.
Yeah, they're so bad. Atsushi Kotoge and Koji Iwamoto defeated Naomichi Marufuji and Tomomitsu Matsunaga in 1817 with a moonsault press from Kotoge on Matsunaga. Okay, look, I actually quite enjoyed this match. I thought the last like third of the match was pretty good. I just think it was went a little long and there was like them just lying around.
But then there seemed to be some comments as well from Iwamoto, right? Like that he might be getting more bookings than Noah potentially.
You know, it's interesting because I'm not sure if Iwamoto really fits in their junior division, in all honesty. And are they going to push him as a heavyweight?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I think he's actually tall enough to potentially be a heavyweight in Noah.
Maybe, yeah.
Because, again, that was his big, as far as we know, right? That was his big issue with All Japan, that he wanted to be a heavyweight. Yeah.
Yeah. They put him in that real world tag league with Ryuki Honda.
That was such a good team. Oh. Ah, it's a shame. Anyway.
So, special singles match, Kazuyuki Fujita defeated Koji Doi in 8:43 by referee stop. He gave him the beast bomb and then he just like pulled him up at 2.9 and then gave him the face kick. I was okay. I thought it started well enough with them just like going at each other, but then it just slowed down in the middle until the end. I know for some reason, I feel like Koji Doi has regressed as a pro
wrestler. Yeah, he very much has. I think when he came into All Japan and he was like just ripped to the gills.
Or even his 0-1 days, I'm thinking. Or Wrestle 1 days.
Even his Wrestle 1 days. Yeah, I mean, he was kind of a like perennial main eventer there and everything. And yeah. I feel like once his All Japan run didn't go anywhere, I think he just stopped giving a shit.
Yeah.
And I think like these kinds of matches is just all we've gotten from him these last couple years. And I think that's one of the reasons why he also isn't getting booked anymore in All Japan, where Kuma Arashi still is.
And Kuma Arashi upped his game.
Yeah, now, he definitely has gotten better. And like, it definitely used to be that Doi was the worker of the team.
Yeah.
Like, especially very early on, like when he was still in Wrestle 1 and it was still like Kuma Goro instead of Kuma Arashi. But now, no, I think it's very easy that like Kuma is the better worker of the two and the one I'd rather have as well.
More charismatic, too.
Yeah. Doi is just kind of like it. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't really feel any joy when he wrestles.
Doi is a jag.
Yeah, now he's just a jack. Yeah, now he's just a perfectly acceptable wrestler that never really excites me anymore.
And then in the main event, Muhammad Yone, Shuji Ishikawa, and Oka Sasaki defeated Takashi Sugiura, Gaina, and Naoya Nomura in 2023 with a Waka Gatame from Yone on Gaina. This was pretty good. Really good main event for the show. I thought Nomura looked great. And honestly, Paul, I'm not the safety police, but Nomura, he bumped pretty hard in this match, I thought.
I mean, it was his knee this time, right? It wasn't his neck.
But his neck's got to be not
in great shape. Yeah, I mean, I feel like not not a lot of his parts of his body are likely in great shape. That's the problem.
Yeah. But he still got it.
Yeah.
I think he would definitely still have it if he was a regular full-timer.
But I think it might legitimately be that his body just can't do it. You know, that he just can't be a full-time wrestler anymore, which sucks. But I think it's just the reality of the situation.
Yep, it is a shame, but very good match, I thought, to cap off the show. And then from there, we are at Sunny Voyage 2025 on March 31st at Shinjuku Face in front of 362 fans. And once again, on the undercard, not a lot. I mean, the Awada-san defeating Naomi Chimura Fuji and Deki Odashima in a three-way was sort of fun with that. Junta Miyawaki and Amasuka versus Hajime Ohara and Atsushi Kotoge went to a no contest because Gaia Hawks and I forgot his name. Partner.
F Swag is Gaia Hawks and the other one. It's not Gaia Hawks.
The other one. Let me look that up. But that was a no contest. Yeah. So I think they're going to go for the junior tag titles.
Well, even more important, the return of Yuya Susumu.
Oh, right.
Wearing a Stinger shirt.
I know. Can't let the dream die, I suppose.
No.
That's not the greatest of news, I've got to say.
No, I definitely have not missed Yuya Susumu.
I'm kind of surprised they brought him back.
I mean, we'll see if this is like a thing, right? I don't know if he's back permanently or not, or if this is just for like this title program.
Yeah. Oh, it's Jun Masayoka.
Ah, yes.
All right. So then next up, we had Takashi Sugura and Kazuyuki Fujita defeating Nolan Bryce Hansen in 11 big slam from Sugura on Hansen. I enjoyed this. This is what led me to originally bring up Null, because I thought the Null and Fujita stuff here was really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have surprisingly great chemistry. I did not expect that.
Yeah. And then Hansen, again, I'll give him, obviously he does not have what Null has. But he's definitely improved over the tour, because I was a lot more low on him at the beginning.
Yeah, and it definitely seems like, because we were talking about it last time, right? If you would rather have Bryce Hansen or LJ Cleary. But it definitely seems like there was like a real like turnover foreigners, because apparently LJ is going to like stay in like the US for now. So might be that he is also no longer getting bookings in Noah either.
Well, you say that, but Saxon Huxley reappeared.
Yeah.
Although I would not rely on anything unless they announce it.
Yeah, yeah. It's just that LJ is definitely going to stay in the US for a bit. So, like, if he's coming back, it's not going to be a four bit.
And then Masa Kidemiya, Eita, and Shuji Kondo defeated Harutoki, Alejandro, and Kai Fujimura in 10:35 with the Saito suplex. Kidemiya on Alejandro. Again, a very solid match. No bullshit or anything like that. Not that Eita really did anything. After that, Kaito Kimiya defeated Daga in 11:38 via the figure four pinfall. I thought this was pretty good.
Yeah. Kind of continuing the whole, like, is Daga heavyweight or not? But I don't know, like, if he can perform like this against... I mean, obviously it's against Kaito, but still, like, if that's what we're getting, then I think I'm fine with him moving up.
Well, Daga's in his current phase of, I'm going to work hard because I want to be a heavyweight.
Yeah. As long as he doesn't, work himself into a shoot with that, like other people.
Yeah. Oh, yes, of course. Maybe he could be the TJP of Mexico. And then next up,
isn't TJP kind of the TJP of Mexico?
Oh, right. He does that. He wrestles in CMLL too.
Yeah.
Kenta Keno and Uko Sasaki defeated Ozawa, Tetsuya Endo, and Tadasuke in 15:43 with the modified Dojimi sleeper hold from Sasaki on Tadasuke. Again, I have generally enjoying these like Ken tag and Sasaki versus Team 2000X multi-man tag matches. They've been pretty good.
Yeah, I've been really liked them
on
as well.
The interference, you know, and this is another good one.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about one, and I think I liked even more than this one, but yeah, I thought they were really good. Actually, I forgot to mention that on the Yokohama show, where basically Ozawa did like the Phoenix Splash into a trash can just to like taunt
Right.
Kenta even more. because he's like, because they're still heavily referencing like Kenta like fucking himself up in that hardcore match with Tanahashi, which I think is a really like clever way of building like this feud.
For sure. I mean, he's good at getting under people's skin. I got to give him that. And then,
yeah, like, I actually like that the matches have been like relatively low bolter, but yeah, there's one more coming up, but like, I think that's better to talk about it there.
Yeah. And in the GHC national title tournament round one, Galeno defeated Manabu Soy in 18-12 with the Galeno special. I mean, I thought it was pretty good. I didn't think it was great. I mean, although I suppose for what I'm expecting out of Galeno, I think he did well, and I think he's on an upward trajectory. What did you think, Paul?
It was solid. I just had the feeling it never really got out of second gear, right? Yeah. Like, I was like, okay, when are we getting, like, when are we going to, like, dial this up a bit more? Because it's not like it was a short match, right? Because Endo versus Segura, at least, like, that was, like, it was pretty short. Yeah, exactly. Like, this was 18 minutes. I was like, okay, like, are we, like, ramping this up a little bit? And it's like, that never really happened. And then Galeno just won. And I was like, okay. Like, that's the thing I've yet to see from Galeno, is if he has that, like, next gear, basically. But he's still young, so still has time. But again, he's being pushed pretty heavily as well. So, yeah, I would like to see it sooner rather than later.
Yeah. And then we move on to April 6th at Osaka Edeon Arena number 2 in front of 722 fans. We have Shuji Kondo defeating Daiki Otoshima in 908 with the crab hold. And let me tell you, Kondo is a great opponent for someone like Otoshima, who's still matches and everything like that, right? I thought it was a lot
of fun. No, definitely. Yeah, where like Kondo just kind of tossed Otoshima around for like, I mean, it gave him some time as well. So, I'm definitely looking forward to like watching Otoshima grow, because it also feels like he's improving like with every single match too, which is kind of scary because he's already really good. So I am definitely curious to see like where his ceiling actually is.
I think he's got a pretty high ceiling just because he's so versatile as well. His styles, he can grapple, he can throw suplexes, he can fly.
Yeah, it just depends on like, you know, Noah not Noah ending it up and like keeping him in this role for like 5 years or whatever.
Yeah,
exactly.
Next up, we had Muhammad Yone, Atsushi Kotoge, and Hajime Ohara defeating Takashi Sugera, Shuhei Taniguchi, and Black Mesa Ray in 10-18. When Kotoge pinned Mesa Ray with the Kumori Suri Otoshi. It sounds exactly like what you think it is, even if you have slightly more serious wrestlers.
Yeah.
Sugera.
I was like, yeah. I was like, to be quite honest, I basically remember nothing from this match.
Yeah. Amasaka and Junta Miyawaki defeated Harutoki and Alejandro in 10-18 with the horizontal cradle from Miyawaki on Alejandro. Now, look, Miyawaki doesn't really need to be pinning Alejandro with cradles. You could get a decisive win there over Alejandro, but this was a good match.
Yeah, it was. I was surprised that, I mean, it made sense because they're the champions, but I was still surprised that the team with the heavyweight lost. But I mean, it's Harutoki who's not pushed at all. So I think it's fine. But I was still surprised anyway.
And then Manabu Soya, Saxon Huxley, Hayata, and Yohei defeated Naomi Chimara, Fuji, Masa Kibmiya, Nolt, and Bryce Hansen. Dropkick from Yohei on Hansen. And that went 10-46. This was just throwing everybody together and seeing how it sticks against passionate Rattels. And it was what it was.
Yeah.
I feel like Saxon Huxley is now aggravating me more than
it's because he's such a weird, like, fit. Like, now he's like slumming it up with like Hayata. I'm just like, why? Like, I literally am like, why are you here? Like, what is it that you think that you do?
Why are you here and why isn't Anthony?
Yeah. Like, he just doesn't fit. Like I've made that point before, but they somehow found somebody that it's a worse fit for Rattels than Manabu Soya. Like, it just doesn't fit the like vibes of the rest of this faction in the slightest. It's so weird.
Yeah, for sure. And then we move on to Tadasuke defeating Yuto Kakushi in 10 minutes and 34 seconds with the horizontal cradle. This was a solid, like, 3.25 Tadasuke match, just to set up, obviously, something that would be coming down the pipeline. But I don't really have any strong thoughts on this match.
I mean, I did, like,
lower on the card.
No, I think it made sense because of, like, what they were trying to, like, set up with it later. I think it made sense to put it here. I mean, I did kind of like Tarasuke, basically, just being like a complete, like, I think they did it really well where they portrayed him as this guy that, like, basically he just outsmarted all of his opponents, right? Because by the end of the match, like, it was just like Rattles at ringside. And then Tadasuke still, like, managed to, like, figure out a way to, like, just basically fuck over Kikuchi and, like, steal the win from him. So I actually liked that part of the match. But yeah, otherwise the match was, like, the most of the match was kind of just there. But I did actually kind of, I thought the finish actually worked well, like, showing, like, what, like, Tadasuke is now, basically.
And then, so, then Kenta, Keno, and Oku Sasaki defeated Ozawa, Tetsuya Endo, and Owada-sen at 16:25. With another modified Dojumi sleeper hold from Sasaki on Owada-san. So, Paul, I think this is the match you wanted to talk about.
Yes. No, I really like this one.
It was very good, yes.
It was also super over. Like, first they, like, bring out, like, a giant, not a giant, but they just bring out a ladder as well to ringside. And then they teased, like, doing spots off of it as well. But what I will say is they actually kept, like, the bullshit relatively low as well. Right, there was like a little bit of it, but I don't think it was like overbearing or anything. And most of it was really good wrestling.
They saved that all for the main event.
Yeah, they very much did. They very much did, unfortunately. But like otherwise, I thought this was like mostly just like a nice straight wrestling match. I thought like we could see like some of the chemistry that Kenta and Ozawa have, which I think they definitely have it, right? Like I think it's definitely...
They do.
They definitely do. Like, I hope that it translates to, like, the singles match. I was actually curious. I think Endo might be beating Galeno. And I think we might be getting Keno versus Endo for the national title. Because I think those two had, like, a lot of interactions. The one thing, though, I will say, it was, like, weird that it was a six-man tag. I guess maybe it was to, like, just to have somebody that can take the pin. Because all I remember Ulka and Owada doing was like literally the finishing sequence. I think literally Ulka only tagged in to do the finish. I don't think he did anything else in the match.
I don't remember much else.
Yeah, like he literally just comes in, chokes out Owada, and that's it. I mean, I guess he gets the win, so like his music is playing and all of that. But like I don't know. Like I on the one end, I think I like putting him with Kenta and Keno because it gives him something to do. On the other hand, that's also two people you can get very easily overshadowed by. And I'm not sure where I fall yet on this. Like, what do you feel about, like, the... What are they called? Ken-Ken?
Ken-Ken
workout? No, it's Kenta and Ken or Ken-Ken, but I think there's, like, a free person name for them now, for their team. Ken-Ken-sa, I think. Yeah, but what do you think of the three of them so far?
I'm enjoying the three of them, and I think this is a good place for Sasaki as well.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I'm... Again, there is the risk that he gets overshadowed by Kenta and Keno, but...
Well, yeah, but it's...
But for now, I think it's working, yes.
Yeah. And then in the semi-main event, the GHC Junior Heavyweight Championship, Ada defeated Kai Fujimura in 13:03 with the Imperial Uno to make his third defense. Look, I thought Fujimura looked real good here. He's trying hard. Mm-hmm. You know, Ada sort of showed up for the finish where they were, like, exchanging slaps and Fujimura was just exhausted and then got leveled to the Imperial Uno. And then, so, you know, it was what it was. It wasn't bad at all. And then Tadasuke came up to make the challenge after that match.
Yeah, but first we're actually getting a number one contenders match as well between Yohei and Tadasuke.
Oh, right. Yohei and Tadasuke. Yeah,
because Yohei came out as well. And then the winner of that is challenging Ada at Sumo Hall. So I would assume that Tadasuke is winning that. Like,
oh, you think he's going to win that?
You think Yohei is challenging?
No. Tadasuke is challenging, but I think Ada's going to beat him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it depends, right? Like, because I wasn't sure when they set it up, whether or not they were setting up a freeway or if they were setting up a number one contenders match, and then they announced it was a number one contenders match. If it had been a freeway, I actually would have expected that Tadasuke wins because he could have like won by like stealing the pin by like pinning Yohei or whatever, and then right. You can continue the like Rattles versus like Tadasuke feud. But yeah, if it's just a straight one-on-one match, I do think Ada is winning that. And I actually wouldn't be shocked if Ada goes all the way to January and then loses to like Junta there.
Yep. I think that's the right play, but we'll see. You can never bet on that.
We never know with the Noah Juniors.
I would never bet on that, but that to me is the smart move. And then in the main event for the GHC Heavyweight championship in a decision match, so it was vacated for those who were trying to keep track.
Despite the fact that one team came out with the belts.
Yes. Jack Morris and Daga defeated Kaito Kiyomiya and Galeno in 1945 with the tagger driver from Morris on Kiyomiya to become the 69th champions. Nice. Well, let me see here. I thought this was a great tag match. I did not love the interference, especially given how much it fed into the finish with Yoshitatsu grabbing Kaito's leg. And then, you know, Jack Morris just like running, following that with a running knee and then the tagger driver. So that really did. And there was some interference earlier on too. It really left a sour taste in my mouth. But otherwise, I thought it was really good. I thought Morris looked great here, especially the way that he was selling for and everything.
Yeah. No, I liked most of the match, like a lot. I was kind of put off by like the just amount of interference they were doing. The one thing I will have to say though, it's like the handshake between like Kaito Kiyomiya and Hokuto Omori of like being the job guy in the faction of the lead.
Well, look, you had to protect Galeno because he's going in with tournament.
Yeah. It's weird that this, if I had a dollar, every time Kaito had to take the pin in a tag title match, because Galeno Del Mal was in a singles title match soon after, and it was, and also that happening this year, I'd have $2, but it's weird, and it's even weirder that it happened twice in the same year, and we're only in April.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get it from that perspective, it's just, I don't know. It's also the other thing, it's like, okay, so they vacated the title after Omos left, but then they just put it on the guys that like they were telling us that like Omos was giving the belts to anyway. So why did it take them until April? Like,
I don't know.
And Omos hasn't had a match since he left. So why did he have to leave?
I think people expected to be in the Royal Rumble, but he wasn't.
No. So this feels like such a waste of everybody's time. I don't know. Whatever. I like the Jack Morris Daga team in general, like minus the bullshit. So like, I don't know. I might have put it on Kaito and Galeno, but I can't be too unhappy here because I do like the team that the belts are on now. So, yeah, it's just, I don't know. Like, this whole thing was just so completely weird, but I guess it's done now and we can just move on now.
What I was going to say was that this drew 722 and Eddie on number two.
Mm-hmm.
And that's up, but do you think that's still a little low given how they're drawing in Tokyo?
I mean, it's slightly less than what they drew in January, right? But it's still like they drew like 400 people in this building last year.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Could it be more? Yeah. I mean, other promotions are also drawing way more in the same building as well. But then again, I can't really complain if they're up 300 fans year over year, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, for now, I'm still happy with this. If this is what they're still drawing, like let's say like they're numbers keep being up in like Tokyo and like let's say they draw like an amazing number in Sumo Hall, like then my expectations will kind of change what they draw for like this kind of building in the future. I mean, I don't even know if they can draw, if they get back into Arena number two, because I don't know when, like, yeah, because Edeon 1 is currently closed, right? Like, but then when Edeon 1 reopens, Edeon 2 is closing for renovations, I think. Yeah. It's the way that works.
Yes, that's what I've read. So we'll see. Because there's not a lot of other like decent mid-sized venues in Osaka.
No.
Right?
Like, I don't remember how much the Omega holds, the Omega Sky.
I thought it wasn't very much.
No, I don't think that. Yeah, I don't think that gets anywhere there. Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, if you want to exactly this mid-sized building, yeah, because otherwise you just have like the Omega Sky Hall and like smaller buildings. And then, yeah, you have Osaka Jo and like the Prefectural Gymnasium, which are both way bigger.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is really the only mid-sized building in Osaka, as far as I know.
So, moving on from that, we go to a quick preview on Friday the 11th in Niigata City Gymnasium. That was where we're going to get the final round of the national title tournament, Tetsuya Endo versus Galeno. I think we both think Endo is winning that one, although I could see Galeno winning, but I'm leaning towards Endo. We got a six-man tag match of Ozawa, Jack Morris, and Daga versus Kenta, Keno, and Uka Sasaki, which I think could be very good.
Let's see what they bring out for that match.
We got
a trash can. We got the ladder, so table.
Daga has his bat.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But I do think they were only using things that they were using in the Tanahashi match. Right? I don't remember what else they were using in that one.
And then Tadasuke and Owada-san versus Manabusoi and Yohei. Not match could have dreamed up even a few months ago. Got Naomichi Marufuji, Takashi Sugiura, and Kazuyuki Fujita versus Kaito Kiyomiya, Alejandro, and Kai Fujimura.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be people that are going to suffer in that match.
Yeah. I don't know what they're thinking with that one.
Oh my God, listen to this one. Saxon Huxley versus Null.
Ooh, that's, I don't know.
I don't know.
That could be like Null, but like I don't think that's going to work out really like well, to be honest.
Null should go over.
He won't, but yeah.
He should. I'd book Null to go over, that's for sure.
I'd book Odashima to go over Saxon Huxley.
Then we got Amasuka, Junta Miyawaki, and Atsushi Kotoge versus Jun Masaoka, Gaia Hawks, and Yuya Susumu. So we'll see if Susumu has brought his working shoes back to Noah. I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah, no.
And then a three-way match, Muhammad Yone, Shuhei Taniguchi, and Black Mansoure versus Black Mansoure. And then a six-man match, Kitamiya, Ada, Bryce Hansen versus Hayata, Daiki Odashima, and Hitoshi Kamano.
We get another Kamano return.
Yeah, he's definitely a part-time guy. Still think he looks good when he even wrestles twice a year. and then on the 14th at Korakuen Hall, we've got the no DQ tag match of Ozawa and Tetsuya Endo and Kenta and Keno, which had been the only match announced on that show until the last, except for the past few days, more hasn't been announced. So we got Amasuka and Junta Miyawaki versus Jun Masaoka and Gaia Hawks for the tag team titles, mm-hmm. which I think will be good.
Yeah.
And then we've got the Yohei versus Tadasuke match. We've got Daga versus Uka Sasaki. Talk about a styles clash.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. Because we forgot to mention Keno and Uka Sasaki came out after the tag title match, the challenge.
Yes. We've got Kaito Kiyomiya, Galeno, and Alejandro, and Kai Fujimura versus Manabusoya, Saxon Huxley, Haida, and Naomichi Marufuji, Takashi Sugiura, Ada, and Deki Odashima versus Muhammad Yone, Kazuyuki Fujita, Atsushi Kotoge, and Hajime Ohara. We've got Jack Morrison, Owada-san versus Shuhei Taniguchi, Black Mansoure, and Kitamiya versus Harutoki, which I'm curious to see, actually.
Yeah, actually, that one is something I want to see as well, yeah. Because Harutoki is just kind of there right now.
Yeah. So it looks like Hansen and Null are gone after the 11th.
Yeah, which I think broadly aligns with like how long they keep people over, like especially on the first go.
Yeah, for sure. That is Noah. And so we switch over quickly to All Japan for the Dream Power Series on March 29th at Oda City General Gymnasium in front of 2,098 fans, which actually exceeded what I thought this match was going to draw by looking at advanced ticket sales. I don't know. This show did not get good reviews.
No, it wasn't very good. That's the thing.
No, there's no. We're not going to be any contrarian and try to argue that.
Well, there's one thing I will be a contrarian on, but it's not a match. It's a person.
I know who you're talking about. So we start off with Dan Tamura and Ryo Inoue and Seki Yoshioka defeating Atsuki Aoyagi, Kuroshio Tokyo Japan, and Taishin Nagao in 13-17 with the Nitsun and Chiru from Yoshioka and Nagao to sort of pay tribute to Musashi, who was injured, and so they had to move some booking around on the show, which, to be fair, did not help the show.
No, it was definitely like if this had like Yoshioka with Musashi, it would have definitely helped the show.
Yes. Suwama defeated Seigo Tachibana in 15 seconds. The backdrop. This is like pure work smart, not hard Suwama.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I'll do one appearance in All Japan per month. Well, here you go, 15 seconds.
Well, now it looks like Baka no Jidai may want something to do with Tachibana.
Yeah, but I cannot let the Seigo Tachibana slander stand. Seigo Tachibana has been like working his ass off for like at least the last year. Like I think before then he was like very underrated because he was very rarely given the chance to like work strong matches, right? But he's been in so many good matches and also like non-comedy matches especially over the past year that I cannot let it stand Rich just going out there and saying, oh, no, it's Seigo Tachibana, so it's not worth watching. Like, there was potentially a great match here. They turned it into a 15-second match, but if they had gotten time, there's no doubt in my mind this would have been a good match.
Yeah, for sure. I absolutely said. Although, I mean, was Suwama ever going to try, though?
No. I think I said this when we previewed this, where I'm like, yeah, this could be a good match, but it might also be like Suwama wins in 3 seconds. Like, basically, it just comes in, backdrop suplex immediately, and just wins, which is what happened.
And then next match, Yuko Miyamoto and Fuminori Abe defeated Mr. Saito, Naruki Doi, and Senor Saito in 10:50 with the moonsault press from Miyamoto on Senor Saito. It was just there.
Yeah. I mean, I was a little disappointed given, you know, who was in this match, like the talents. But yeah, I mean, it was the third match from the bottom. So,
yeah.
But then again, almost every match on this show felt like the third match from the bottom.
God, yeah. So Road to Champion Carnival 2025 special 8-man tag. This was switched from a rumble to an 8-man tag because Cyrus is injured or sick. Get well soon. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about what they decided to plug the other hole with that. So we had Shotaro Shino, Ryuki Honda, Madoka Kakuta, and Zion defeating Rei Sudden, Hideki Suzuki, Ren Ayabe, and Kuma Arashi in 13:38 with the rolling lariat from Kakuta on Arashi. Okay, so thoughts on Zion, first of all.
I don't know. He definitely has a good look.
Oh, of course. But he didn't really do anything in this match except for a couple of moves.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I'm like,
it felt like they were hiding.
I definitely can't really like say what I think about him because he was barely in this match. He looks good. What he did looked competently executed, which better be if you were trained by the fucking biggest promotion in the world. But yeah, it's about it. Like, he was just in there for like, I don't know, like his ring time really like exceed like, I don't know, a minute. I don't think it
did. We need to talk about how Hideki was selling for him.
Oh, yeah. No, it's definitely very obvious who brought him in.
Hideki was selling like he was about to die.
Yeah. I was like, okay, I've never seen Hideki sell this hard for anybody ever.
It was incredible. I burst out laughing. I'm like, oh my
God. I didn't even know he could do it.
I have a hot take from this match.
Oh, what's the hot take?
I think that Madoka Kakuta and Ren Ayabe have actually good chemistry together.
Ooh, okay. That's an interesting one. Because I think there's going to be more Kakuta talk later. But I could definitely see it because this seems like the kind of guy where like, I mean, it's always surprising who actually has like chemistry, right?
I just thought Kakuta and Ayabe stuff towards the end. And, mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think Kakuta stood out the most in this match. Obviously, he was getting the win. First time in All Japan, so they did a good job on that.
Yeah. I definitely look forward to, like, I really hope that, like, this is the level of effort that he's going to give as well, and that this isn't going to be, like, a, you know, like, Yuki Yoshioka in the N1 type of deal.
Right. And then next up, this was a special singles match that they did because of all the other stuff that was getting moved around. Davey Boy Smith Jr. defeated Yuma Aoyagi in 2014 with Bulldog. Now look. I don't think it was a football match. Mm-hmm. I thought the finishing sequence was solid, but not, you know, like they tried to make it look like it was a bigger deal, like a more of a big match feel, but it was fine. It's fine with the kickouts and the backdrops. And everything. First couple minutes were fine with them on the ground, but it's just these things where Smith will just do a body slam and lock on that rear chin lock in the middle of a match. That's just like, what are you doing, guy?
Yeah, the Randy Orton stuff.
Yeah. And of course, at 20 minutes.
Did not need that much time. Like, does not no. need like main event length like match.
Not at all.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about the participants later, but like Davey Boy, yeah. I'm like, I think I'm out. Yeah.
All Asia Tag Team Championships. Rising Hayato and Yuma Anzai defeated Hokuto Mori and Takashi Yoshida in 22 with the gimlet from Anzai and Omori to make, you know, another match that went too long.
Mm-hmm.
No question. 22 minutes. However, I thought Omori and Anzai down the closing stretch was...
Yeah, no, the closing stretch I did like, but I will say I thought this was like the weakest title defense of like Hayato and Anzai so far.
Yeah, that's fair.
Takashi Yoshida is like not very good.
No. And then in the main event for the Triple Crown. Jun Saito defeated Kento Miyahara in 27-24 with a psycho break for his third defense of the title. This was a not a horrible match, but or bad match, horrible. It was fine, but it just lacked something. And I can't even believe, like, it was like significantly not weaker than their Champion Carnival Finals match last year, which I thought was a legit match of the year contender. I don't know what the thing was. Like, Miyahara even busted out the snake limit and did arm work maybe to sort of change things up here, but I just don't know. It just fell flat compared to what we were expecting.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely didn't live up to the expectations.
No.
I still liked it well enough, to be honest. Yeah. I feel like I'm almost a high man on the match, being like, yeah, I don't know, I thought it was a good match. Like, I don't think it was a great match. I mean, I did like some of the kickouts they were doing, like, and everything.
I was going to say, other than the Saito title win, I thought this is the weakest match of the reign.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I would say so, which is weird. Like, that's definitely not what I expected from this match. I don't know. Yeah, I agree, though, there was something missing to, like, make it a great match. I was like, yeah, you know what? I liked this well enough. There was, like, some good stuff here. But then there was just nothing there to be like, oh, this was a great match. And it never really felt it was going to be a great match either. Like, it was very weird, I guess, maybe is the thing.
I felt like the finishing stretch did not have the sort of fire and passion that they did in their tag title match.
Yeah.
Like, Miyahara was on one in that match.
That's even weirder, right? Like, because they just had this great finishing sequence, and then they just...
Yeah.
Decided to do none of that in their singles match. I guess maybe because they didn't want to repeat it, but like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe. Because I thought to myself, oh, did they go too long compared to last year? But nope, that match also went about 27 minutes. So
yeah,
can't even said they went too long because they've done it before and better at the same length.
But, yeah, I don't get it. I don't understand what happened here, basically. I mean, maybe they just had an off night. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe just an off night. Sometimes... Look, I've always defended Miyahara from the critics of, oh, he's too formulaic. But, you know, sometimes maybe that does happen. I'm sure other people would blame Jun Saito.
Yeah, I've definitely seen blame for, like, both men, to be honest.
Yeah.
But well, I don't know. I will also say that I think, well, to be fair, when I mean both men, I see people either blaming Jun or Kento. And I don't know. I think they're kind of equally to blame, to be honest. I think it's my take.
I think, if we're going to be fair, I think the thing now, though, June showed more weakness as a singles wrestler before the title win.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now I think he feels like he has to compensate as the champion to be a little too strong.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I definitely get what you mean. Yeah. And I think that is kind of impacting the matches as well.
Because he certainly wasn't as vulnerable as, well, I mean, Kento won the other one, but. Probably could have looked a little more vulnerable to build some of the drama.
Yeah. Because it was basically, it's just like he easily broke out because hadn't really taken any damage, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never really felt that like it was like, oh, this is going to be the move for Kento. It's like going to put him away finally. And he's going to like finish. Like, I never had that feeling at all, which is rare because with Kento matches, there definitely always is like that one moment where you're thinking, oh, now he's now it's over. Now he's definitely going to hit the shutdown and the match is over. Never really had that feeling in this match.
What did you think of that one counter to the shutdown that I'd never seen before that I thought initially was a botch until I realized that Saito had actually rolled out of it properly?
that definitely was like, I thought it was a creative idea, but yeah, as you were saying, like, I don't think it worked well.
The first second one, I thought it was a botch. By second two and three, I was like, oh, no, wait, that was intentional. Like,
he's actually doing it, yeah.
I suppose it did not look
No, that's my thing. Yeah, I'm like, I get what you were going for here, but I don't know if June is the guy to like try and pull that off specifically.
Yes, definitely not. We've worked a smaller wrestler would look better.
Yeah, definitely. If Yuma was doing it, I think he would have pulled that off a lot better.
Yeah, or even Anzai. Although Anzai'd probably like bump on his neck to do it.
Yeah, Anzai is just like no. Like, let me just expose more of my like vertebrae to it.
Well, which brings me to my next talking point. So I think this this June Reigns probably should end after the carnival, if I'm being...
Yeah.
He's beaten the three top guys.
So you think Ray should beat him?
I think Ray should beat him and have a much shorter reign, like maybe one defense.
Yes.
You can get it back on Anzai, and then have Kenta Anzai at New Year's, or on New Year's. That's why... Yeah.
No, I do agree that Kento Miyahara should wrestle Yuma Anzai in the main event of the New Year's show. I would also be very much in favor of that. I think that's a great idea, actually. They should hold it off and not do it before then, definitely.
Well, you never know. I don't know. I mean, I did not necessarily see this June title reign coming from a mile away or anything, so I could be very wrong. That's just how I would book it. It's getting to the point where you got to get this title back on Miyahara because he's beginning to look like a loser.
Yes, no, definitely. Like he definitely needs to win that belt.
Need to give this man all the credit in the world. He has helped make several wrestlers over these past couple, from Anthony to even Yuma, Aoyagi, and now to Jun Saito.
No, for sure. Also never I'm almost afraid that the one Ray defense will be Kento.
And also never getting his win back from Nakanji.
Yeah, well, different circumstances.
Did you see that Kento went to dinner with Sasaki and Hokuto?
I was just about to ask you the exact same thing. Which
you talked about, hey, your son is a raging asshole that's destroyed his crew.
See, that's the thing. Do we know if Nakajima is still on good terms with the both of them?
I mean, I definitely have seen pictures with Nakajima with the Sasakis were not that old. I mean, in the last couple of years, I'm positive.
I think he was I think the last one I saw was when he was at the wedding.
Right. That was only a couple of years ago. That wasn't that
But still, long. You know, I mean, Nakajima, a lot has happened in his life since then.
That is certainly true.
Who knows? I don't want to read too much into it, but I was just curious that Kento's hanging out with those two. And it has been a bit since I've seen them hang out with Nakajima. Look, and Nakajima very clearly is not in the best place right now.
Okay, I perused his Instagram. There's a picture of him, Kensuke, and Akira Hokuto, and Rin Katakura from February 6th, 2023.
Yeah, I mean, that's 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So again, I don't want to read too much into it, but you know, I don't know. I think if, intervention sounds strong, but I think if they're still on good terms, I think the two of them should set Nakajima down and tell him to get his shit together, basically.
Well, it's not like their father had a hothead.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
both of them really.
Sasaki had his moment, right? But he
melted. But he never sunk to the depths that Nakajima's at now.
No, not at all. I always thought that ideally, if you're going to do the angle of Nakajima and Kento, you had to have Kensuke and Hokuto sitting at ringside in the camera, zooming on them and stuff like that. We never got that.
See, that's where it first kind of that planted that seed in my mind, where I'm like, are we sure Nakajima and the both of them are still on good terms or not? Because I was like, okay, why were they never there for this? When they're both workers and they know that this would have made this even greater. Who knows what the plan was for All Japan. Maybe if this didn't get derailed by Nakajima being a fuckhead, maybe there were plans to have both of them ringside next time these two face off. But I definitely thought it was curious that they didn't seem to be involved in this at all, when they're very clearly obviously involved in the story overall, because the two of them met at their training school. So the key parts of the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, you know me, I think I'd put Nakajima in probably my top 20 wrestlers ever. And so if you ever walk through that door again, I wouldn't complain. I'm not going to lie.
No, absolutely. I'll absolutely take him back. I'll 100%. I'm I'll take him back in Noah too.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of where he goes, I think he's going to do great. It's just, man, this weird shit and great where nobody watches it anymore, and I don't know, being a trainer and actress girls, you were on top of the world a year ago, man. What the fuck happened?
Yep. You could have, well, yeah, he was the top, he's basically the top guy in the company. The one to Kento or 1A or whatever you want to call it. Yeah, it is what it is. I guess we relitigated that again for the ninth time.
And we will keep doing it until, I don't know, he retires.
Yeah, basically. So yes, but yeah, I think the town needs to come off of June after the carnival. Well, what do you think? Should Ray be the one? Like, do you just do a quick thing with Ray just to be like, hey, look, both of the brothers can get it? Are winning the Triple Crown?
To be honest, I think that's kind of what I settled on now. Where I think that's what I would do. Just give Ray like a quick like V1 defense and then have him lose the belt after that. Otherwise, yeah, I mean, if June beats Ray, then I would just have Anzai be the next challenger and just beat him right after. Like, the maximum I would do is, the maximum I would keep it on June is like beating his brother in Sendai and then losing it right after. Like, it definitely can't be that like we're getting into like July and June Saito's still the champion. I think if that's the case, yeah, then like, I think it's gonna overstay his welcome in a real bad way at that point.
Yeah, I think so too. So now we jump into the carnival preview. Let's go over the blocks again because there have been some changes. Mm-hmm. Block A, Kento Miyahara, Jun Saito, Hideki Suzuki, Shotaro Ashino, Kuma Arashi, Kengo Mishima, Zion, Takashi Yoshida, and Davey Boy Smith. Block B, Yuma Aoyagi, Rei Saito, Hokuto Omori, Yuma Anzai, Ryuki Honda, Ren Ayabe, Ike LeBlanc, Mike DiVecchio, who are both now in Japan. They've posted messages talking about their match upcoming. So we'll get to that in a second. And then Madoka Kakuta. So, Paul, first off, let's talk about what Kakuta's also doing while he's also in the carnival.
Yeah. So Kakuta, Dragon Gate had a show in Korakuen, if I remember correctly. And there they set up their annual Dead or Alive cage match. And Kakuta is actually booked in that. So it's going to be D Courage versus Z Bratz. And so from the way it's kind of been setting like up, like from what I've heard, it's very heavily that like there is good, like something, like obviously it's a Dead or Alive cage match. So something big always happens. Like that's kind of the thing with this match. And it could actually be like one of the like very heavily like pushed things. It's like it could be that Kakuta actually turns heel, like some, like either in the match or like in the aftermath of the match or whatever, and like he might actually become a heel. Which I think that's actually really interesting because, again, he is wrestling Rei Saito the very next day. So would he then also like shift his, like would we see like a massive change in character from him, like literally like between two like matches during the Champion Carnival? Well, like, would he like start healing it up?
Well, here's the thing. He's already a heel because he's the outsider, technically.
True. But I don't, like, he wasn't really acting that heelish like in the like setup match, right?
Unless I'm, at all.
Yeah. So like, or could this also be that maybe it, like, for example, like he kind of like gets like a late run, like he's not like, I don't think he's gonna like make it out of his block, but could this be like where like he loses a bunch of matches early on and then he turns heel and then all of a sudden he starts winning a bunch of matches as well?
That's not impossible. You know, like, although I think though he's winning on the first night.
Is he up against again?
Because
he already got the win in the setup match, right?
Yeah, but Yuma is also the guy that they would totally sacrifice to.
Yeah, that's true, unfortunately.
Right?
Yeah. No, I could definitely see that. Because the match, so basically the DOA is on the 5th of May. So after that, Kakuta has three more matches. Mm-hmm. So he has Rei Saito, he has Ren Ayabe, and he has Ryuki Honda on the final night. So like, could it be that like he kind of wins all of those? Like, maybe he does make it out of the blocks, right? Because we have the semifinals.
Yeah.
Like, could it be that he like makes a run? Like, maybe he beats Yuma, then loses the rest of his matches, and then wins his like last three matches to like sneak out of the block, essentially.
That I think that's very possible. Well, I was gonna ask you, what do you think of the semis and the, like, my issue with this is like it's almost like the Royal Road. They're doing the semis and the finals on the same night.
Yeah, which means that the semis aren't going to be like big like long matches, essentially, because they have to keep them short because the finalists have to wrestle in the main event.
Which also means that the finals could be a match that doesn't exactly like
draw
extreme finals on its own, right? So like,
yeah,
you know, you could put Kento in the semi and Anzai in the semi, but they're not necessarily going to go through to the finals.
So could Kakuta actually make it to the final?
I don't think that's impossible. I'm leaning against it, but I don't think it's possible at all.
Right, because the one that, like, I don't know, for some reason, the comparison I have in my mind is them doing Tearhawk versus Ashino in the Champion Carnival final. And that was kind of similar as well, right? Where there was a massive booking change for Tearhawk halfway through the tournament when he won the title and then won the rest. Like, he lost, like a drum early on in the tournament.
Yeah.
And then won the title, then won all of his matches and went to the final. So I don't know if they would do that again. But yeah, with the semifinals being there, you don't necessarily need a match up top that can draw, because people will have to buy their tickets without knowing that that's going to be the final.
Yeah, for sure.
So it could be that, like, yeah, Kento makes it to the semifinals, loses to Kikuta. And then Ray against, I don't know, somebody from Block A. Hideki, maybe.
Hideki. I mean,
Block A is so bad.
Well, Hideki is also a possible finalist.
Yeah. No, definitely. The more we talk about it, the more I'm convincing myself that the final isn't going to be like a big drawing match, basically, because, which honestly, it shouldn't be, because this promotion isn't very deep. So, like, they can't just keep burning off matches.
Yeah.
You kind of have to put a match in there that you're not burning anything off.
Yeah. So quickly, let's look at the first night, which will probably be over by the time you listen to this, but whatever. Kento Miyahara versus Hideki Suzuki, by far this match on that show.
Yes. I think that's one of the best matches in Block A. Let's be real.
Yeah. Jun Seto versus Kengo Mashimo, which I think could actually be good, but also very interesting.
Yeah. I don't, like, it could also be literally just there. I have a feeling this match is going to be just there.
Davey Boy Smith Jr. versus Takashi Yoshida.
Look, at least we get it out of the way early.
Get it out of the way early. Congratulations to John Carroll.
Yeah. Oh, God, I forgot they were there at the show. Oh, no.
Block B, Yuma Aoyagi versus Madoka Kakuta. We got Monkey Magic versus Aigle Blanc, which we're all circling because they're going to work hard. I think I saw the match order, and that's third match on the show.
Yeah. And they've run that a couple of times in, like, Europe this year. Like, they've had a couple of matches already in Europe. So, like,
they're ready.
They know what they're doing. Like, they're both going to be super motivated. Like, this is, like, the other one that I really have circled from, like, night one.
Yeah. Well, so, sorry, I should have been going off of the match order, because the match order is Rei Saito versus Raiki, interesting first match. And then Hokuto Mori versus Yuma Anzai. Mike DiVecchio versus Aigle Blanc. Yuma Aoyagi versus Madoka Kakuta is fourth match. Fifth match is a 10-man tag with everybody else on the roster or in the tournament that's not in, has a match that night. Sixth match is Davey Boy Smith Jr. versus Takashi Yoshida. That should have been the first couple of matches.
I'm getting concessions during that match or having a smoke or something. I don't know.
Jun Seto versus Kengo Mashimo is the semi-main. And then the main event is Kento versus...
Kento's absolutely losing this, right?
I think so.
Yeah, like, I think they're just doing the classic thing where, like, Kento, like, takes some lumps and then does a run and, like, makes it out of the block.
I think Kakuta's beating Aoyagi.
Yeah.
Paul, do you think Omori has a chance of upsetting Anzai?
Only if they do, like, a shocker like they did when he beat Kento, where it was, like, a knockout.
Yeah.
Like, I can't see him pinning him for the 1-2-3.
Yeah. And then Rei versus Honda. I could see, if Rey's winning this, I would have Honda go.
Yeah. Because that might, like, if I'm doing a
V1. Yes, right? I was just going to say.
Patrick Honda there, yeah.
Ryuki Honda is the perfect V1 for Rei Saito.
Yeah.
You know.
So, yeah, I also think, like, Honda's going over and, like, gets a title challenge based off of that later in the year.
Yeah. Do you have any other matches circled?
From the first night or in general?
No, from the tournament.
From the tournament. I actually, all of the Madoka Kikuta matches I'm kind of interested in.
Yeah.
Because they're all fresh matches for him, right? So I think that's just going to be, like, really interesting to, like, see. Then otherwise, actually, low-key, Mike D versus Rei Saito from the 13th.
Yeah.
Because Mike is just going to do some crazy shit for, like, somebody that can, like, base properly for him. So he's just probably going to flip off of something, like, probably, like, I don't know, like, do some, like, crazy move off that, like, top rope to like to the floor or something.
Yeah. Also on that show, Hideki Suzuki versus Kengo Mishimo. Honestly, yeah. I think that could
might be good.
Might be good. They're going to just try to tear each other's arms out of the socket.
Yeah. Actually, honestly, maybe like because it's in Kurikan, Davey Boy versus Kento, because if there's going to be any match of Davey Boys that could be good, it's this one.
Yes. Yeah. It's the only other match in the entire company that I think Davey Boy Smith could have that would be good would be against Anzai. But they're not.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not in the same block. I mean, the Yumas against each other. I think that one's going to be really good. Otherwise, yeah, the problem is that block, like it's like all the matches I'm looking forward to are basically all block B matches after that.
Block B is the block.
Yeah, because block A is just, actually, you know what? Just remember that Shotaro Ishino was Kuma Arashi.
Yeah, their anniversary match is pretty good. Do you think Arashi gets his win back?
I think he might be, yeah. Because I think Ishino is just not going to do much in this tournament, to be honest.
There is one point where I was toying with him in the finals against Ray. That's not going to happen, is it?
No.
But again, that's a good finals.
That would be a good final. And again, not a drawing match, so you could do it.
Yeah. That's why I kind of circled that. I'm like, yeah, you could do that there. That would be a good final.
You think any of the foreigners have a chance of like making it out of the block?
Well, Smith could make it to this. Let's be honest.
Yeah. I'm so like, because I don't want to talk about it because I don't want to talk it into existence. But I do think there's a decent chance that that could be the final.
Ray versus
Ray, because Davey Boy did beat Ray.
Right.
So, and it is to challenge, like, base, and Davey Boy lost it to Drew. And so, like, who more likely to, like, right? Like, either, like, you could set up, like, either Drew is going to face the guy that is, like, he took the title from, or Drew is going to face his brother. So, like, you have the intrigue of that. This would be such a disappointing Champion Carnival finals, though.
Yes. Oh, God, yeah. One of the problems with making predictions, though, is the way they have this set up, because the last two shows are just B-blocks.
Yeah. And block A is just done.
And there's an odd number of wrestlers, so, like, not everyone wrestles on the last two shows.
No.
So, I mean, you could sit down and try to chart it out, but I'm not going to do that.
No.
It would take a while.
I wonder if, like, somebody just wasn't going to go to Sapporo, and that's why the blocks are so weird.
There's a couple of matches, though, on the actual final night before this that are noting, because you've got Honda versus Kakuta and Anzai versus Ray.
Yeah.
Also, you have...
Which I think that might be the main event, to be honest. I think that might decide, like, the block, right? I think this might be, like... Well, like, I think we might come down towards, like, Kakuta and Honda are still, like, it's basically, like... Like, I could see, like, a scenario, like, Kakuta wins, right? And then it's, like, if Saito beats Anzai, both him and Kakuta. And whereas if Anzai wins, like it might be that Ray is already in, right? And then it could be, like, that, like, Anzai has to beat Ray, and otherwise Kakuta, like, just slips in. So I could definitely see that happening.
Also of note, on that show in Sapporo on the 11th, which is the last block show, you got Yuma Aoyagi versus Hokuto Omori. And that also seems like upset alert.
Yeah. I think that's definitely a match where I think you must definitely using that one.
Also, since we're just talking about the show, you've got Mike DiVecchio versus Ren Iabe. And I got to ask, Paul, how do you think Mike D is going to perform against Ren Iabe?
I can't even really imagine how that's going to look in my head, to be quite honest.
No.
Because Ren can't pays for, like, Mike, right? Like, and he can't really... No. Bump for him either, but like Mike isn't gonna like want to bump for Ren either. I don't know. Like, I don't know how that's gonna work. This could be a disaster. Maybe they have some surprising chemistry, but like, I don't know. Like, I think Mike definitely struggles with like this type of guy specifically.
So let's back up a couple shows, because the 6th, May 6th at Corken Hall is the last show that has any A block matches. So you've got Kento versus June, and I feel like that's a Kento versus Jusito again.
Right? Yeah.
Win, right? And knocks him out, probably, right?
He knocks out Drew, Hideki. And same with Hideki versus Davey Boy, yeah.
Which could also, that could also be Davey Boy's best match.
Actually, yeah. They just kind of go shoot style.
That could be a semifinal. And then you got Ishino versus Kuma. I think Kuma might knock Ishino out. If Ishino's still in contention at that point. And then Kengo Mishino versus Takashi.
Which I think both of them will be eliminated at that point already.
maybe Mashimo had this a sliver of it.
It's like Zion doesn't even get into like May with his matches.
Sorry. And on the match, the show before on the 29th in Okayama, they've got Ryuki Honda versus Mike DiVecchio, which I think could rock.
Yeah, that's a sleeper. That's a sleeper match, yeah, for sure.
Do you want to make any sort of predictions of the final predictions of the semifinalists?
Just because I don't want Davey Boy Smith to be in the finals, I'm going to predict it's going to be Kikuta versus Kento is going to be one of the semifinals.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be Ray. Yeah, wait, you could just do Ray versus Davey Boy there. Fuck it. You know, let's do Ray versus Davey Boy there. Ray beats Davey Boy in the semifinal. It's going to be a quick match. And then the final is going to be Ray Saito versus Kikuta, and Ray Saito wins.
Okay. So I'm going to do my semis. We're going to have Hideki versus Madoka Kakuta.
Ooh, okay. That should be good too. Yeah.
And Ray Saito versus Kento Miyahara. And the finals will be Ray versus Hideki.
Yeah, I like that too. I like that too. Because I think both of, like, they would be very different matches, but I think both of those would have, like, the chance to be really good finals.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, you know Kikuta better than I do, although you're not watching much Dragon Gate these days, right?
No, but, like, Kikuta definitely, like, is somebody that, like, out of those Dragon Gate guys.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's always the question with Dragon Gate guys, right? Like, because he's tall by Dragon Gate standards, so he's generally the big guy in the match. Yeah. So I don't know how well he can work with somebody that is like that much bigger than him.
Well, we'll find out in this tournament because he's going to work with a lot of
yeah.
He's got, well, Bruce, he's got the Saitos and Renai Abe.
I mean, to be fair, like the other people are also taller than him. It's just, you know, they look smaller by like All Japan standards, but they're all also like really tall too, and like big and fake as well.
I got a couple real sicko questions for you.
Okay.
Who's gonna have Zion's best match?
Kento.
You think?
Oh, sorry, no. Oh, because it's Hideki. Yeah, actually, if Hideki sells like he did in a setup tag, it's actually going to be Hideki.
Hideki should blade for him.
It's just Muto, like Muta level, like blade drop where he just bleeds all over the place. Isn't that Zion's final match in the tournament too? Is against Hideki? I think it might be. Yeah, it is.
It is.
It's in the Okayama match, yeah.
How many points does Zion get?
I mean, again, like I don't think he factors in that much, right? Because he's done before we even get to May.
2-4 or 6?
4. I'm gonna say 4.
I think they might like him.
You think they're gonna get him to 6? They're gonna give him 3 wins.
Yoshida?
Yeah, he's beating Yoshida. Mashimo? He's beating Kengo Mashimo. Yeah. He's beating Hideki. No.
Yeah, he might beat Hideki. Rashi.
Actually, you know what? I think he's easily getting to 6 now that I look at it. I think he's easily getting 3 wins.
Okay. And so my next question to Block B is, who's going to... I think I might know what your answer might be, the same answer. But who's going to get more points, Igor LeBlanc or Mike D?
Huh. I think that's actually really difficult.
I think it's
Mike. I'm going to say Mike D.
I just think he's over. He's been there more recently. Yeah. You know.
It depends how much tape they've seen of Ile Blanc, because he's gotten a lot better over like the last 2 years.
No, I know. I've been watching some of his stuff. But I could still see him just getting like 4 points.
Yeah. I mean, somebody has to be bottom of that block, right?
I think Mike D is more of an All Japan better fit, although I want them to do something with Igor LeBlanc, and I like had would like him to be a regular, no question. I just think like as they got that they see that they would push higher, it's Mike D.
Yeah, I mean obviously like it's a Japanese promotion. Obviously they're gonna push like the fucking like muscled up freak. Like
who can
do I think push? That's just natural. Have we talked ourselves out of like but I don't think there's any way Mike D makes a semi, right?
It wouldn't be the worst idea.
Yeah, I don't know.
If you're trying to make someone and you can, well, am I dreaming or did I hear something that WWE?
Yeah, I think somebody said that on the flagship. I don't remember who.
Look, if you could get dates and he wasn't going to get taken away by them, it might even be worth doing.
Yeah.
But that's too much of a question mark about, I don't know. Like,
yeah, I mean, that's the only place I've heard that as well. So I don't know, like, while you can still get dates on him, though, like, I would definitely push him. Like, maybe that could be a guy for V1 defense as well, if you want to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. I would not be opposed to that at all, you know?
And so, you know, Mike would, like, go absolutely nuts if he gets, like, a triple crown match.
For sure. Okay, so does Kento do any jobs to anyone shocking?
I mean, who would be the most shocking guy for him to drop to?
Yoshida?
I mean, Yoshida.
I'm not going to lie. I could see Zion. It would not shock me.
Yeah. Yeah, I could.
I don't think.
When is that happening in a tournament? Because if it's happening later in the tournament, it's, I don't know. That's happening. I think that's the second to last match in the tournament. Yeah. It's
Zion versus Kento Miyahara, the 27th and Edeon number.
Kento is making it out of the block, I think that's almost too late. Unless Kento already has like a lot of points, and then basically him losing to Zion prevents him from moving on that night, and then he does it like later in the tournament.
Yeah.
Because he only has Kuma Arashi and Davey Boy Smith, Jun Saito, I mean, after that.
Yeah.
Like, if this was like his second match in a tournament, I think he's definitely losing. But this late in a tournament, I'm not sure.
Okay, maybe last question. Is Anzai beating Kakuta, or is there any chance that Kakuta could beat Anzai?
Anzai with Kakuta. I mean, it's early enough, right? I mean, like, that's the weird thing, is I have no good read right now on what Anzai is going to do in this tournament.
No, he could be
a finalist. Because neither of us had him, like, go to the semis.
Actually, he could be a finalist.
Yeah, like, again, he could very easily be a finalist.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that trips me up is that the last night is Anzai versus Bray.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could do a 30-minute draw.
You could do it, or you could do it that Anzai beats Ray there, and then Ray beats him in the final.
Yeah.
Then Anzai still, I guess, maybe still has, like, a reason to challenge based off of, like, him beating him. Like, basically, he can go, like, oh, we're one for one now. Let's have a triple crown match to settle it. So I could see that. I mean, but then again, like, we're basing all of this off of Ray Saito's definitely winning. Is there any chance Ray Saito isn't winning?
Well, who would it be?
Anzai?
No, because you just did Jun versus Anzai.
Yeah.
And Ray versus Jun is the absolute biggest match you could run in Sendai.
Yeah. Like, I think, like, the fact that the next big show is in Sendai is such a massive tip off that Ray is winning.
Well, Jun is going to be champion either way.
Yeah.
I mean, but then, like, what? You can't, like, because he's already beaten Kento, he's already beaten Yuma Aoyagi, he's already beaten Anzai. What are you gonna do? Hideki versus Jun Saito in the main event of Sendai Sun Plaza?
Yeah, no, like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, if you want to maximize, if you want to maximize what you can do in that building, you, like, because this is the only chance you're gonna get to run this as well. Like, I don't think, like, time is running out so fast, right?
Yeah.
You have to do it now. Like, you have to do it now because it's the only chance you're going to get to do it.
And I think you should have Ray win the title. In part because I think Ray is a better singles worker. Although Jun has gotten better from where he was a year ago even. But I don't know. I like Ray's got that more of a physical style. Like, wrestling. Mm-hmm. Credit to Suit Williams, like, wrestling a bear.
Yeah. Which, again, like, I think all Japan is missing a little bit. Like, now that Tsubama is gone.
Yeah.
Also, because we haven't talked about it at all, I think. It's kind of weird to have a champion carnival without Tsubama.
You know, it's funny because once Tsubama started getting up there in years, some of his best matches were actually in champion carnival.
Because he would always turn it up in those. Like, I remember him having, like, baffling chemistry with Yoshitatsu.
Yeah. Do you remember, I think it was either 2021 or 2022, that match against Ishikawa where they got bloody?
Oh, yeah.
And then I thought Tsubama had a very good champion carnival last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just weird because he's just kind of always been around for so long.
Yeah.
Like, he's the record participant, right?
He's got to be.
Yeah, because who else even would come close? He's been in champion carnivals for like 20 years.
Between, like, 1981 and 1990, the tournament didn't even exist.
Yeah.
So, you know, but before, like, if the tournament all existed throughout the 80s, then, yeah, Baba or Jumbo probably would have gotten there.
But
it didn't, so that makes why Tsubama would be probably the champion carnivals.
Yeah, And I don't, it's just weird because we, like, I get, like, that we never got, like, an official, like, oh, this is Suwama's last Champion Carnival, right? We didn't get that last year. And now he's just kind of gone now. It's, like, not fully, but functionally he is. And he's not in here. And it's, I don't know, I feel like there's something missing. It's odd. Like, we'll get used to it eventually because all of these people will leave eventually. But I just thought it was notable because we hadn't actually talked about that at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, in some ways, it's you got to move on. Mm-hmm. And I'm all for that, right? We didn't have Ishikawa last year. And Ishikawa was a big part of a lot of Champion Carnivals from, like, you know, 2016, 2017.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if certain things, I feel his absence feels more clear when you have to bring in Takashi Yoshida to cover for
yeah.
Let's just say, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. I'd rather have, like, even half effort Suwama than, like, Takashi Yoshida.
All right. Any closing thoughts on the Champion Carnival?
I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to Block B. I think Block B has, like, yes, a ton of interesting stuff. Block A, yeah. If we weren't, like, reviewing these, I would be, like, pick and choose matches from that. Like, I think that would be my recommendation for people viewing, like, Block A, like, pick your matches. Block B, I think you should probably try and watch all of it.
There's definitely some car crash, cannot look away stuff in Block A.
I mean, look, I mean, the one tomorrow, like, Davey Boy Smith versus Takashi Yoshida, I'm like, that absolutely could be a car crash. Or Davey Boy versus Zion. Davey Boy versus Zion.
Versus Zion.
Oof. I don't know. That one could be a fun squash. We'll see. But Davey Boy versus Zion, this could be like a, I don't know, like WWE house show special match, basically.
Yeah, for sure. So
like what building? What building are they doing that one in? That one is in the San Jose City Public Welfare Hall. Yeah, no, we're getting a house show match on that one.
Look, I mean, I think, especially coming out of the Ota War gym, so things feel a little lack of momentum in the company. And I think there's still a lot of opportunity to pull something off with, and if there is some lineup.
Yeah, I think we could definitely, because I think there's been a very much a lack of, like, really great, like, singles matches so far this year.
Yeah, tag matches would have been delivering, actually.
Yeah.
All of your, you know, both tag titles have been held by, obviously, you know, great teams.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's definitely, I would be shocked if we come out of this tournament and there were, like, no great matches in it.
Yeah, the finals is going to be good.
Well, unless it's Davey Boy versus Ray.
Right. But even in the most notorious year of 2020, we still got that amazing Zeus versus Kento match.
God, yeah. I mean, this Champion Carnival would definitely be better than that Champion Carnival. I feel very confident in saying that.
Yeah, that might be one of the worst champion ever.
Yeah, but that final, like, was, but that was legit one of the best matches of the pandemic era, though.
Oh, for sure, right? And it was still, like, relatively pandemic, given how long things exist in Japan. And on that note, we will be back in a couple of weeks to survey what's going on in the Champion Carnival, as well as, obviously, you know, that really big no DQ match in Korakuen Hall, which I think hopefully Kenta does not.
Oh, God, I'm so afraid he's going to hurt himself.
Yeah, always something to worry about. Hopefully it's just Ozawa doing all the bumps.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Anyway, we will see you in 2 weeks and enjoy all the wrestling out there. Bye.
Hi, I'm Andrew Rich. And if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now, you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener. Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself, how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.